Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to the exhilarating on-demand audio program called Every Little Thing from Gimlet Media. Shortly, you will hear Bill Nye, the science guy, speaking with Flora.
Flora!
Bill!
Flora worked with Bill on his Netflix show, Bill Nye Saves the World. This explains their familiarity.
Are we doing video? Good morning. Are we doing, is it morning there? Yeah, are we doing video or...
Just audio. We'll save our bandwidth.
Good. Oh, God, I love saving bandwidth. And hang on. I'm sorry.
No, it's cool.
No, I got it. I don't know. Are you able to edit this?
Yes.
So that was my office, and Christine, my assistant, knows that I'm on the phone with you or the Skype with you.
Maybe she was giving you an out. Like, if you needed to get off, she was...
Well... But no, but I don't want to get off because off this call because when you're in love, you want to tell the world.
Welcome to Celebrity Crush. This is where we learn about the nerdy interest of an otherwise normal celebrity.
So we're talking about Nathaniel Bowditch, my guy.
The objective of today's episode is to make you develop feelings for an unlikely and obscure historical figure.
Let's get started.
Okay, so how would you characterize your relationship with Nathaniel Bowditch?
I love the guy. And let's keep in mind that I'm talking about Nathaniel Bowditch, born in 1773, not one of the modern Nathaniel Bowditches.
Who is this Nathaniel Bowditch? To help us get to know him better is special guest Tamara Thornton.
I wrote a biography of the gentleman.
The gentleman is a 244-year-old number lover. He hails from Salem, Massachusetts. And he's not the classic crush.
Big head, prematurely gray, balding. Not a hot physical specimen. What can I say?
But as a mental specimen, he is an 11.
So this is a person who is absolutely enthralled with number, computation, and system.
One of his sexiest qualities is that he taught himself math, like hard math, mainly by reading books. And he was 19th century famous for being able to do complicated math problems in his head. It was like his dinner party trick.
People would place bets on him. Can he do this? And of course, he would do it in record time.
In the 19th century, he was a big doggone deal, Nathaniel Bowditch was.
So to call somebody a Bowditch, it was like calling them an Einstein, you know? You don't have to be Nathaniel Bowditch to figure out that, blah, blah, blah.
That was not an expression.
It was an expression. I'll give you the footnotes.
If human calculator doesn't spell attraction for you, Bowditch was also a man of letters. And this is partly what Bill digs about him.
Bowditch translated Laplace celestial mechanics into English, Celeste Mécanique. And when you look at that book, it's just equation after equation after equation about the motion of Saturn, Mars, Jupiter. And furthermore, Bowditch taught himself French so he could translate it into English. Come on, man.
When did you first find out about him? Was it love at first read?
Yeah, in fifth grade, I think. I read the book Carry On, Mr. Bowditch many times. And it's still, if you're a elementary school librarian, you still have it available. It was written in 1956 and it won the Newbery Medal.
Do you remember reading it and it making an impact on you? I mean, how did it impact you?
Oh, yeah. I want to be this guy. I want to learn to do mathematics. Yeah, that's how it impacted me. I want to be that cool.
I mean, there are a lot of stories about science-y, mathy dudes who pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. Is there something about him that really speaks to you?
Well, it may have to do with being a boy. But the first thing was, he was a young boy. I was a young boy. The other thing, he was born before the United States was the United States. And he was, according to the book, he believed in the United States becoming its own country and thought it was cool. And then it was mathematics. And that really grabbed me. And then the last thing, Flora, is the sailboats are cool. They're full of nouns that you don't need everywhere else in life. Tack, clue, pintles. Binnacles.
What do boats have to do with Bowditch? Well, this is actually Bowditch's biggest claim to fame. He edited this nautical almanac that instructed sailors how to navigate by the stars. And it is filled with charts and tables that you can plug navigation numbers into to get your bearings. And Bowditch gave the book the very romantic title, The American Practical Navigator.
It was better than anything that had come out before because he had recalculated every single number in the charts, in its tables. Everybody knew you can stake your life on those numbers and you'll get back home safely.
If you go to a sailing store and say, I want a Bowditch, they'll sell you one.
The book is still being published today by the Department of Defense. It's in its 53rd edition, and it has info on new and old ways of navigating, and also like the rules of the road for captains. And if you talk to sailors, which we did.
I'm Megan Rycraft. I'm a chief mate.
Rick Spillman.
Elliot Kelman.
Michael Caroline.
They all seem to know the book.
When I was in the Coast Guard, it will be found on every ship's bridge.
On any commercial vessel, you are going to have a copy of Bowditch in your wheelhouse.
When I was navigator on a Navy ship, there were copies of them, dog-eared, you know, yellow stickies, whatever. I mean, this is the book.
There is something that feels slightly holy about Bowditch.
I mean, it's like the Bible.
It's the Bible. Bowditch is the Bible.
His book was so influential, so accurate, so useful, that you just called it a Bowditch.
You open up a drawer on a ship, and there it is, like the Gideon Bible in every Motel 6. It's there, just waiting to convert you to Bowditchism. And the amazing thing is that this book does seem to have a powerful pull, even on landlubbers.
There are large communities of Bowditch fanatics.
This is Carl Herzog, the public historian at the USS Constitution Museum in Boston.
There are navigation nerds who have their own sort of society and culture associated with studying all of the esoteric methods of navigation that are no longer really used in a practical sense.
I didn't even know there were nav nerds.
Welcome to the club.
That's how out of the loop I am.
You are not alone.
I want to understand these nav nerds. Like, why are people obsessed with knowing these old ways of navigating?
Well, I think for a variety of reasons. Number one is that celestial navigation, even in the era of GPS, is incredibly insightful and educational. You know, there's an old joke that Columbus was supposedly quoted as saying that, you know, the art of navigation will teach you the secrets of the world. And
why?
Because what you're learning when you are learning navigation is the structure of the world.
So this is how it works. Imagine using a sextant, which is like a protractor with an eyepiece. and you use it to measure the height of a star off of the horizon. It's called shooting a star, which is adorable. And you can use that information plus time plus math to figure out where you are.
The whole idea behind celestial navigation is this idea of using the stars to pinpoint your location on the planet, even if that location is still in your backyard.
You know, there's a lot about humans that you might not be crazy about. But being able to understand the cosmos and our place within it is a worthy undertaking.
And that's what Bowditch was all about, I guess.
For me, yeah.
You have a lot of hobbies and interests. I remember this from working on the show, like baseball, Bowditch. What is the meaning of that? Do you think it's important to have interests and hobbies?
Yeah, well, I'd say have an interest in something. One of the things, Fora, you may recall, there's a couple words I just insisted we not use on Bill Nye Saves the World. One of them was the word incredible. If something's described as incredible, it usually isn't. And the other word that I just insist people not use, leastways on my show, is boring. How can you live in our society and be bored by anything? My goodness, there's so much going on. There's so many cool things around us all the time. I hope you're never bored. Please, everybody. There's a whole world out here.
You now have a crush on historical figure Nathaniel Bowditch. This concludes Celebrity Crush.
Nope.
So basically, are you telling me that I don't have the story right?
No.
Things are never as simple as they seem, as usual. There's one more thing you have to know about Bowditch before we close the book on him. Tamara Thornton, his biographer, said, there's a part of Bowditch's legacy that even his biggest fans don't know much about. And it's even bigger than the navigation manual. And you might be thinking, what could be bigger than the Bible of the Sea? Pioneering bureaucracy. That's the answer.
A lot of aggravations, everything from the phone tree to companies that won't give you a break, numbers, numbering systems, feeling like just a number. That's has Bowditch's calling card on it.
Okay, so later in life, after the navigation book, Bowditch had a day job. He ran this big financial investment institution in Boston, and he had big dreams for it.
The aspiration was to turn every institution that he had control over into a perfect little solar system. Chaos, inexactness drove him crazy.
And so Bowditch's lesser-known legacy is that he pioneered bureaucracy in American business.
One of the first things he does when he takes over this Boston corporation is he has a bunch of blank forms drawn up.
Before the form, people would apply for loans with like a note or a conversation.
Bowditch says, I'm not accepting these anymore. You want a loan? You have to fill out the form or else.
He's also insistent that every loan is assigned a number and that all the applicants' information is bundled together, which weirdly was a big innovation at the time.
Then he tells his agents, when you write me, I want you to refer to the person borrowing money by number.
And because he's running this big business, Tamara says his systems were influential and they spread.
The basic idea of having a numbering system for daily life, for practical affairs, that traces back to people like Bowditch. And again, it seems like, didn't people always do that? Well, no.
It's like a total anti-hero kind of thing. Like the inventor of bureaucracy or the popularizer of the blank form.
Right. It's not, it's really not as sexy as, you know, what you get in Carry On Mr. Bowditch, right? I mean, what, the king of blank forms of due dates? you know, it doesn't sound so good. So maybe we should have, you know, pioneer of modernity. How's that? Better?
That's a better spin for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
If you want to know all the ways in which Bowditch is all around you, check out Tamara Thornton's new biography of Bowditch called Nathaniel Bowditch and the Power of Numbers.
After the break, the meaning of life. Listen to the advertisements. You are still listening to Every Little Thing. It's the same show.
On August 21st, I was on a lake in northern Georgia, and at a certain moment, I looked up at the sky. And all across the country that day, a bunch of other people did too.
Well, my name is Jim Schaffner. I'm here in Jefferson City, Missouri. Watched the eclipse here at the Lutheran.
Heisinger Bluff.
I went blank for a minute. Heisinger Bluff home. And I'm with Sarah, a very fine person who helps me with a lot of things here. Mm-hmm. Now, you ask me what you want to know.
My name is Ahmad Aziz.
Jackie Gross.
My name is Marcel Herrera.
Reverend Edwin Thomas.
I'm Jude Allen.
And I'm Eva Winter Allen.
I saw the eclipse in Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Torrington, Wyoming.
Carbondale,
Illinois. Columbia, Missouri.
Hopkins Island, South Carolina.
Columbia, South Carolina.
Omaha, Nebraska. South Carolina.
I guess this is what I'm supposed to tell you about the eclipse and how it affected me. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
The thing took place on August the 21st, 2017.
How much longer till totality, Dad?
11 minutes.
They were very kind and set up a large number of chairs out in one of the bar's parking lots.
We actually parked in the Walmart parking lot.
So I went with my girlfriend?
So I got my mom to go down with me.
Unfortunately, this was a solo trip. I couldn't even talk my 15-year-old son into going down with me. This age is when you as a parent start going, but we used to do things together.
It was still exciting to be with your community. I thought about how, like, is there anybody who doesn't know this is happening?
2 minutes.
That was really
sad. 2 minutes.
It was just so crazy. The cricket started chirping.
I started to think it's dusk.
Look at the ground. Look at the ground.
What?
It was just eerie. The shadows don't quite look right. And, you know, it's like being in Wonderland almost, just nothing makes sense.
I felt like it was still day, but it was kind of getting darker.
Oh, look at your shadow. Look at how sharp the shadows are.
You see the shadow? Look at those.
And it appeared like evening.
It was so dark.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it went through my mind. Actually, how fast the moon does travel and the earth does travel.
Dad, what? Countdown.
We've like 20
seconds. Oh my God.
20 seconds.
Oh, it's almost gone. Just a little bit.
Wow.
That's so like cool. Holy
crap. 10 seconds,
like make a wish.
Everyone had a moment of silence because we said we may never see this again in our lifetime.
Well, to be truthful, I felt as though time just stood still for a few minutes, and everything was moving in slow motion.
And then, you know, it's like a light switch, it just turned out.
Please come back. Oh. Take them off.
Oh my God! Look at it without your glasses. Take them off. Oh. It's so beautiful.
You have to see it yourself to actually understand why people were so hyped about it.
Everything in that moment was just beautiful and perfect. Similar to hearing my dad laugh, you know, for the last time.
You know when children cry and like they can't catch their breath and you're just like, breathe, breathe, breathe.
What was the feeling you were having?
I just can't believe I'm seeing this. This is just so awesome. I just can't believe it.
Oh my God.
What?
my mind kept thinking that Jesus would appear at any moment.
Well, that's been almost 2 minutes, so it should be coming out of it soon.
Oh, wow, look at the light, Dad.
Look at the light.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What? There's a hill and valley on the moon.
Oh, my God.
It's a hill and valley.
What?
Then all of a sudden, a ray came through, a ray of light. And it looked like a spotlight being turned on the earth.
Sun's back.
Oh, we did it.
The next eclipse is coming to America. So I have a heavy question.
Okay.
What do you want your life to look like in 2024?
What do you want your life to look like in 2024?
What do you hope your life is like in 7 years?
Wow, that is a heavy question.
Wow, I'm so unprepared for this question.
So that's 7 years. All right.
Oh, 7 years is a long time. I mean, I can hope for the best.
I don't want to be anything higher than six.
Well, in 7 years, I'm hoping to be married, so hopefully my wife would want to come along.
I hope we at least have another large furry dog.
I want a dog.
I'd like to have kids by that point in time, which is another challenge in and of itself, just because it's difficult for gay couples in Texas to adopt children.
In 7 years, you know, hopefully I'm more of the parent that I thought I would be.
What do you hope for your relationship with your son?
That we will have regained some of the closeness and friendship that we always had.
It's my greatest fear that I'll have a kid and they'll just be completely uninterested in all the weird stuff I think's cool.
Well, and like, since I'm her only one, there's just like a lot of pressure for me to be who she wants me to be, and no one really is ever who their parents want them to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Well, I hope we're not more divided as a nation. I think we're strong enough with our constitution, and we're like resilient as a people.
Well, I hope that we can see some change in the judicial system with the cops.
I live in a great community, great people. But we are in the South, you know, and I just hope that it doesn't turn people to be more hateful in 7 years. I just hope that people will progressively be more loving and more kind to each other.
I'm originally from Venezuela. I hope things in my country get better by then, too.
The world looks pretty good right now. Matter of fact, it's looking better every day.
I hope that 7 years from now, I look back and, you know, just remember how much, you know, how much was up in the air at the time.
The one thing that I fear in my life is at the end of it, that I didn't serve my purpose and I wasn't the person I was meant to be.
People need to know, if they're looking for purpose, that it doesn't mean life is just going to get easy. It doesn't mean that they won't suffer. It doesn't mean that pain won't come. It doesn't mean that disappointment or rejection or hurt won't be in life.
Well, in 7 years, I don't think I'll be here. At least because I'm almost 92 now, I hope I'm not here for it. So I have to leave that to the next generation.
You know, this eclipse got me here is, man, enjoy the ride. you may not get another chance, you know, to do it. So, you know, so pack up and enjoy it while you can.
ELT sincerely thanks all listeners who donated audio of their eclipse experience. Every Little Thing is made by Flora Lichtman, Catherine Wells, Christine Driscoll, Govan Pudubwele, Eric Menel, Devin Taylor, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Dara Hirsch scored and mixed this episode. Special thanks to Frank Reed. Every Little Thing Loves You. The show is over. Mm-hmm.